And in international relations theory, there is this concept called relative gains, that while one side would gain from trade, fear is that the other side would gain even more, and those gains could be translated into military prowess.
The pandemic has been upon us, and beneath this wave of fear, India and Pakistan upholded a 2003 agreement of ceasefire earlier this year. Now, down the line, there were more incidents like the opening up of Indian airspace for the Pakistan Prime Minister to visit Sri Lanka. Are the two countries putting aside animosity and moving towards peace in the region? Today, to talk about this, we are joined by Professor Sumit Ganguly, the Distinguished Professor of Political Science, who also holds the Rabindranath Tagore Chair in Indian Cultures and Civilizations at Indiana University. Professor Ganguly has authored a number of books on foreign policy, including Deadly Impasse, Indo-Pakistani Relations at the Dawn of a New Century. Hi, Professor, and welcome to DH Radio.
Good morning.
It's fantastic to have you on the show. Professor, India and Pakistan, you know, had a parting 2 years ago after the Pulwama attack in Jammu and Kashmir in February 2019, followed by the revocation of Article 370, which gives a special status to the state. Now there's a recent thaw in between the two countries with upholding the 2003 ceasefire agreement. How do you look into this move by the two countries?
I think it has much to do with a host of factors. First of all, there is a new administration in Washington, D.C., which is not particularly well disposed towards Pakistan, because Pakistan has been dragging its feet in terms of the negotiations on the U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan, that it has not put adequate pressure on the Taliban to put an end to violence in Afghanistan. Pakistan sensed that there was an element of frustration on the part of the Biden administration, and it clearly needed to signal to the Biden administration and to the global community that it can be somewhat more reasonable, at least on another front, and this front being Kashmir. On the other hand, India too needs a quieter Western front, primarily because of the extremely troubled Himalayan border with China, the spate of incidents that have taken place since 2020, starting with Galwan and elsewhere along the border. So India does not need a two-front confrontation. Consequently, it needs to bring the temperature down on the line of control between India and Pakistan. So it's a convergence of various factors that are leading to this possible thaw in Indo-Pakistani relations.
Now, also, there's a third player in this foreign policy, that is the United Arab Emirates. Now, there have been reports from various agencies and media organizations that the UAE was instrumental in brokering this peace. Now, why would UAE do that? Like, what does it have to gain here?
The UAE, for quite some time, has had a good relationship with India, and that was continued and deepened under the Modi government. I would say that's been one of the successes of Modi's diplomacy, that he has managed to maintain a continuity of relations with the Gulf states and the UAE in particular, a process that had started earlier, but has been sustained under the two Modi administrations. And the UAE obviously would like to see reduced tensions between India and Pakistan, because it makes it easier for them then to work with both countries. And consequently, it makes sense to serve as an honest broker between India and Pakistan.
From the perspective of both Pakistan and India, you know, as you said, you know, India would want a peaceful region on its western side, and Pakistan is obviously, wants favors from the United States. Now, apart from that, what about the trade between these two countries? It is a vibrant trade which existed, and now it's sort of diminished. Is that also has a role to play in this? Because, of course, the pandemic has brought economic difficulties on both sides of the border.
Trade certainly would be beneficial to both India and Pakistan. And it's largely because the political and strategic relationship has been so poisoned over the last several years that it really hasn't been feasible to pursue a robust trade relationship. It is tragic that these two countries that could benefit from trade have mostly turned away from the possibilities of expanding trade, largely because the political and diplomatic and strategic relationships have been so fraught and so difficult that under these circumstances, it's very problematic trying to boost trade. And in international relations theory, there is this concept called relative gains, that while one side would gain from trade, fear is that the other side would gain even more, and those gains could be translated into military prowess. And that's why, in considerable part, Pakistan, the weaker partner, has been loath to expand trade with India. Take, for example, the most favored nation status, which it was going to grant to India. But that went up in smoke several years ago.
Exactly. Another area of influence in South Asia is Afghanistan, where you see the US fighting for influence with India and both Pakistan. So is that also a factor? Earlier in the podcast, you did mention about Afghanistan. Could you tell us more about the Afghan sort of a diplomacy here in play?
Yes. The US, particularly under Biden, and here is a strange continuity between Trump and Biden, because the differences between the two administrations on a whole variety of fronts could not have been more stark, both in terms of domestic policy and foreign policy. But on this issue, both the Trump administration and the Biden administration seem keen on a dramatic drawdown of American forces in Afghanistan. But Biden, who wanted to pull out troops or most troops by the 1st of May, now in office, recognizes that a campaign promise is somewhat more difficult to keep once in office when faced with certain kinds of constraints and a recognition of certain realities in Afghanistan. So he has backpedaled a bit on the dramatic drawdown that was visualized by May 1st. That's not going to happen. And as a consequence, he's looking to stabilize Afghanistan, withdraw troops, but perhaps do it at a slower pace. But he's also acutely cognizant of certain realities, and one of the realities is Indo-Pakistani competition in Afghanistan. And here he has to pursue a delicate balancing act. He would like India to play a greater role, but he also wants to ensure that Pakistan then doesn't play the role of a spoiler. So I think some very deft diplomatic maneuvering will be necessary on the part of this administration as it seeks to dramatically reduce its footprint in Afghanistan while ensuring that Afghanistan again does not plunge into chaos and become a haven once again for terrorist groups.
Exactly. Another factor in these, the thorns in the toy, if I can say that, is the another Asian giant, China, and the Belt and Road Initiative by Beijing. What do you think? Will that hamper the Indo-Pak peace?
China obviously wants influence and a role in Afghanistan and wants access to rare earths in Afghanistan and the like. And China, of course, to some degree, will remain aligned with Pakistan because this is what the Chinese refer to as an all-weather relationship. It's one of the few allies that Pakistan can count on and one of China's most reliable allies and a country that China has used as a kind of a strategic surrogate against India in South Asia. So yes, the Chinese will remain a factor in these negotiations and discussions. They can't be wished away.
Yes. Another question that I would like to ask you, Professor, is that during both, the elections, in, especially in India and both in Pakistan too, there's a high rhetoric on Kashmir, every elections, no matter when they are held. How do you see that? Will that be another sort of a thorn in this talk?
It's entirely possible, but much depends on developments within Kashmir. If one again sees, as now that spring is coming, if you see a wave of protests in the streets of major cities in Kashmir, if you see a return to stone throwing, if you see a return to sort of street violence, Pakistan's politicians almost invariably will pick up on this because it's a volatile and effective issue in Pakistani politics, and no Pakistani politician can be immune or ignore developments within Kashmir because it is a live wire issue, and they will have every incentive to exploit domestic developments in Kashmir. And let's be honest, there is a degree of discontent that seeds in the valley. And even if the Modi government wishes to remain in denial about this, this is a problem that's not going to go away of its own accord and cannot be solved by enhancing the presence of security forces in Kashmir. That's merely a kind of a holding action. Ultimately, efforts have to be made to deal with this sense of alienation and discontent that pervades the Kashmir Valley and which is ripe for exploitation by Pakistan.
And before we end, my final question to you would be like, what do you see the future of this Indo-Pak relationship? Will this be a perpetual problem or is there a hope for, you know, the resolution between the two countries?
One certainly hopes that, you know, like the old biblical saying, the poor ye shall always have with you. I hope that similarly, this is not a hardy perennial. I hope that at some point, you know, the rivalry will come to an end. But in the foreseeable future, it is hard to see how this rivalry is going to come to an end. Let's be honest, we have a fairly hawkish government in India. In Pakistan, Imran Khan is not the master of his own house. Mm-hmm. It's General Bajwa who still continues to call the shots. That's a structural issue that confronts Pakistan. So in the immediate future, all one can hope for are sort of ameliorative steps that can be taken to reduce the temperature between the two countries. But a breakthrough simply, it does not seem to be in the cards in the immediate future.
Now, just a quick question here. You said about the structural differences between both India and Pakistan. You have two centers of powers in Pakistan, one with the military and one with the civilian government. Is that sort of difference is a problem in hindering the Indo-Pak peace? Is what do you think about that? The structural differences between both the countries?
That's one of the principal impediments to peace. And secondly, there are two other related factors. One is, of course, Pakistan's continued involvement with a range of terrorist organizations and Pakistan's denial that it has any control or leverage over these organizations. And the other, to be equally honest about this and to be somewhat dispassionate, India's decision to abrogate Article 370 and Article 35A. These did not help matters. This has created an additional rift between India and Pakistan. It certainly did not help ease matters in the least.
So we'll continue to watch the situation between how the relationship develops between the two countries bond together. So it was wonderful having you, Professor, on our show, and thank you for giving your inputs to Deccan Herald. It was fantastic to have you here.
Thank you very much for this opportunity. It's very kind of you. And
that's all in today's episode.
Tune in this evening on a news update podcast from the newsroom to catch all the exciting developments of the day and to get the news while it's still budding. For latest news and updates, log on to www.deccanherald.com. Check out our e-paper at www.deccanheraldepaper.com. To read news on the go, sign up to our Telegram channel t.me/deccanheraldnews. Keep up with the news from your interested sphere by downloading the all-new Deccan Herald app, in which you can personalize, have a quick glance at news shots, check highlights, and even listen to. You can get it from Google Play Store and Apple App Store, and you can find the links to the same in the description.